To show you.
Poor bodies.
Man. Your body sounds wrecked. You sound wrecked. Fwen, you are what the French call les incompetents.
And on that note, let's go ahead and get started.
I wish I had a French retort.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible Peoples Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. So glad to be back on the podcast.
Yay!
Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Anthony Fuentes.
That's me.
And Phil Acevedo for covering for me while I was unavailable.
I told her she was looking for the Book of Death and the Lost City of Hamunaptra. That's what she was doing.
And I got whisked away in a whirlwind romance with 1990s Brendan Fraser. It was beautiful.
It was 2023 Brendan Fraser. Don't lie to the fucking
bitch. Hey, if it was 2023's Brendan Fraser and 2023's Rachel Weisz, fuck yeah.
Okay, good point. We definitely don't have any of them in this movie.
I was going to say, speaking of Eiffel Towers...
she's back. That's good. She's back.
That's good.
We are talking, this is my October pick, and I just want to first of all apologize to my co-hosts for subjecting them to this movie that I love. We are talking about Inside from 2007, otherwise known as L'Intérieur.
French language so stupid.
Nice. Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
I find it very beautiful, actually.
It's a beautiful language. It's just a bitch to learn, personally. I grew up in a single language home, so picking up other languages is just ass for me. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
I always figured French sounded... There's a lot of French that sounds very much like Spanish.
Yeah. Romance languages, dude. They're... Yeah.
Hot.
I mean the little categorization of romance languages, like English, Italian, French, Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I can just order food sometimes with my range of language beyond English. It's horrifying.
Hey, that's something. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay, quesadilla after this. Let's go.
Anyway, kicking this off with good old
La quesadilla.
La quesadilla. Who wants this? I will put it up to you two. Who wants to give us...
I can step up to the plate.
Yeah. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Use that romance language background. Come on.
Les 4 months after the death of her husband.
Anyways, this is the IMDb synopsis for Inside 2007, correct?
Yes.
Right, 2007. Mm-hmm. All right, here it is. 4 months after the death of her husband, a woman on the brink of motherhood is tormented in her home by a strange woman who wants her unborn baby. Now, after watching this movie, this is a pretty good, hefty IMDb synopsis.
I think it covers all the marks. I would give it a 7.
Absolutely.
I've yet to be truly blown away by an IMDb synopsis, so that's about as high as I go.
It doesn't convey my terror when watching this movie, so you know what? 6.
I'm hoping that one day we'll find that IMDb synopsis that completely blows you away. And yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. So, Inside was directed by Julien Maury and Alexandre Bustillo? Alexandra Bustillo. And this was also written by Alexandra Bustillo. And it stars Beatrice Daye, Alison Paradis. I am going to try my best to pronounce these names.
You have to say Beatrice Daye like Pitbull.
Daye.
Daye. Like, oh, God. Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
Beatrice Daye.
Beatrice Daye.
Oh, God. Oh, man, can you imagine if this song had the soundtrack featured a banger from Pitbull? That would be insane.
Had to be the credits. Like, literally, it's just hard cut to the credits.
Hard cut to the credits after you see this woman just holding a freaking newborn infant, and it just cuts to credits immediately. It cuts to credits. Like, Dale!
He literally could have gone with that one song where he just goes, ooh, baby, baby, la, 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 ooh, baby, baby. Because this movie has a lot of baby action.
Oh.
Anyways, let's continue here.
So good.
All right. Pitbull. Okay, here we go. Release date for this was June 13th, 2007 in France. And the budget for this film was 2.5 million smackaroos and with a box office gross of $530,000. So half a million.
It's an Alex Webster special, guys.
I love it. Yeah, I'm here for it, man. Let's fucking jump into it, dude. Yeah. I'm so excited for this.
So, leave it to me to make things weird. Let's just dive right in, shall we? Also, precursor, yes, I'm going to be talking about fetal kidnapping. So if that upsets you, don't listen to this episode or watch this movie. There is your PSA.
Put on a Pitbull album, all right?
Yeah.
You could put on his 2007 album, The Boatlift, which is around the same year, and I'm sure a little bit more wholesome.
That's so funny. This also came out right before my, 13th birthday.
Right before?
Mm. Yeah, the day before my 13th birthday.
Oh, shit.
13th. I think I was 19 here, and I think Spider-Man 3 just dropped.
Very
good. And
if you want to make things dark. Yeah.
About 4 months before Pitbull's song Go Girl.
My God.
Are you looking up Pitbull's discography? Or like...
No.
I'm convinced that you are.
I'm not doing that at all. I just have extensive knowledge of Pitbull's discography circa 2007.
You're totally doing that. Yes, you are. Okay, moving
you
on.
You have a Google tab.
Back to the child abduction, please.
Absolutely. So, if you ever really just want to fuck up your day, there is a whole list out there of fetal abductions. And off the top of my head, multiple Criminal Minds and Law & Order SVU episodes about that on the topic. So you're welcome. Before we dive into the plot of this fucked up French extremity, let's talk about fetal abductions.
Cool. Hey, happy
Please.
Halloween,
yes.
everybody.
Hell yeah.
So the plot of the movie might seem incredibly far-fetched, but fetal abduction or fetal snatching is scarily more common than most people think. One of the most dangerous times in someone's life is the weeks leading up to giving birth. More than 320,000 women are abused by their partners during pregnancy each year, not to mention the uncomfortably high percentage of women who die from medical neglect leading up to or after pregnancy. 4 out of 5 deaths that occur during pregnancy or post-pregnancy are preventable. It's insane. Having a child is like the scariest thing you could do on every single possible front.
Oh, no joke there. Let's keep going.
No, yeah. I was like, yeah.
I got nothing.
I was going to do like a jab at the Republicans, but then I'm just like,
Jesus.
No,
Christ.
Those are just worse stats. Those are just worse stats now.
Fetal abductions is just it's not a fun fact, but it's just like kind of what we know about the crime itself. It's mostly perpetrated by women, usually after organized planning. The abductor may befriend the pregnant victim. In some cases, the abductor impersonates another pregnant woman and later a mother, using weight gain and a prosthesis to fake a pregnancy and cutting off the reproductive organs to replicate injuries gained during birth. These people fake cesarean sections to be like, oh my God, I just had this baby.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's a great, I like your swindling post not pregnant lady voice.
That's exactly what they all sound like.
Oh my God, this is my baby.
Oh my God, my baby? Like...
Where do I put this cord?
Some abductors then take the neonate to the hospital. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children spokesperson, Kathy Narmi?
Nahirny,
stated in 2007, apt for the release of this movie, quote, many times the abductor fakes a pregnancy, and when it is time to deliver the baby, they must abduct someone else's child. Criminal motives include delusions of fulfilling a partner relationship, childbearing, and childbirth. Most of the time, these are just really, really mentally ill women who, like, caught themselves in a nasty, nasty lie. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in my research, I found that the survivor... Jesus Christ. Let me do that again.
Survivaler, huh?
I'm a survivaler.
Oh, God. Are you insured by survivaler?
Okay. I can't take that baby.
Oh, my God. Good one, Quinn. That was an alley-oop right there, dude.
Hey. Hey. Yeah, two episodes solo, baby. We actually know the skills that we developed.
Right. That's right. Oh, yeah.
Past collective 3 hours of content. Oh, my God. Go back to the baby abductions.
It's like, I don't even need to be here anymore. I'm just here to make you sad. Anyway, unfortunately, in my research, I found that the survival of both the mother and the fetus are incredibly rare. Out of the current list of 25 reported cases, not including attempts, 4 of the mothers and 13 of their fetuses survived.
Mm. Oh, man.
Yeah. Jeez. It's incredibly rare for the mother to survive this, which is terrifying.
After all that planning.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Anthony. Yeah. So
after all that money spent on the freaking gender reveal party.
After all those fires people caused for their gender reveal parties.
Just to have my baby stolen?
Somehow we're caroning the victims of.
Right? I feel like terrible person right
you
now.
You should. Yeah. You should all feel terrible. So I'm not going to go through the entire list. It's incredibly sad, and also like some stories have been covered like extensively, but the most recent known case of natal kidnapping, it happened in as early as 2020. 21-year-old Regan Simmons Hancock, who was 8 months pregnant, was killed on October 9th in New Boston, Texas. Her baby was cut from her body, and Taylor Parker, who claimed to only know Hancock by her first name, had been the photographer at the Hancock wedding the year before, and had spent time with Hancock the week of the murder, going out for a quote-unquote girls' day. And visited Hancock and her husband's home the night before, telling them she was going to be induced the following day, the day the murders occurred.
Jesus.
Yeah. Parker was later arrested in Oklahoma in connection with the case. She was convicted of Hancock's murder in October of 2022. She was sentenced to death in November of 2022. This is the only death penalty case I could find.
Interesting. Most of women aren't usually on the death penalty list typically.
No,
huh?
That's why I thought it was so interesting. Most people got, or most of the women got like insane life sentences, like 100 years or something. Or some people like would take plea bargains or like plead insanity, so they didn't get the death penalty. So this, I thought that was like, I was like, okay, this is the only one that I found that was a death penalty case.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whoa. So. Out of the various pieces of media on this topic, the most graphic and disturbing by far is our film today, 2007's Inside.
Oh, yeah. Boy. And what a movie.
Phil's going to take it away.
I will take it away right here, and I'll read my headline as always. And it goes like this. Don't have sex. You will get pregnant and die.
Very good.
I love that, by the way. I should put that on a t-shirt. Yeah, we should put it on a t-shirt.
I think they did back in, like, 2005.
Let's bring it back.
weren't they all wearing that t-shirt when Roe vs. Wade got overturned?
Jesus.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's go here. Let's, all right. So, as we dive in, on Christmas Eve, 4 months after expectant mother, Sarah Scarangella?
Sure.
I was never able to pronounce. Yeah, Scarangella survives a car crash that kills her husband. She makes final preparations for her delivery the following day. Sarah has grown moody and depressed. Her baby is overdue, and she is still reeling from her husband's death.
Yeah, that opening scene is fucking rough.
Very brutal car crash scene without seeing an actual crash.
We see the car crash from the perspective of this fetus, which happens repeatedly throughout the movie, and it is upsetting each and every time.
Let me tell you guys this. The CGI baby that we see in the opening credits were a lot better than the CGI babies that we saw in The Flash, and that movie just came out this year, and this movie came out in 2007.
That's not good.
Put that baby in the microwave.
Yep.
I know. But I did like that perspective from like the babies, you know, from the unborn baby. There's a camera inside the belly. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wait, Phil, you're also the expert here. How does this CG baby compare to the Twilight CG baby?
Oh, this one runs miles around that fucking tragedy.
And you know what's funny? Because, Anthony, we share the same brain. This is not the only Twilight reference that will come up in this episode.
Oh, wow. Fun. Hey.
Can't wait, dude. So let's continue here with the story. With Inside. So she turns down her mother's request to stay with her for the night and has asked her employer, Jean-Pierre, to take her to the hospital for her delivery the next day. However, that evening, a mysterious, unidentified woman arrives at Sarah's door, asking to use the telephone to call for help.
This is when it gets scary.
And this is where Sarah lies that her husband is sleeping and she does not want to be disturbed. But the woman tells her that she knows that the husband is dead, baby. Dead. D-E-D.
Dead.
Mm-hmm.
How fucking terrifying is that? Like, I don't know.
It was a good
delivery, too. I was like, that's creepy as shit.
Very good delivery. She's like, your husband's not sleeping. He's dead. It's like, and she's like, how do you know this? Yeah, so.
And then
yeah,
she freaking vanishes. It's so, I don't know.
She pops up in the back door window.
Yeah, the sliding glass door, which is why you should never have a sliding glass door.
Never trust those things.
That's true. There's no good comes from a sliding glass door.
Phil says, looking at his sliding glass door that he totally
has. I have one, and I'm just like,
It tears me up every day looking at that thing.
All right. So, when the visitor persists on coming in, Sarah, a professional photographer, by the way, attempts to take her photo through a window and telephones the police. And when the police arrive, the woman has already vanished. The police assure Sarah that she will be fine, arranging to have a patrol car visit throughout the night. And upon developing her photos, Sarah actually recognizes the woman in the background of an earlier photo she had taken, indicating she was stalking Sarah.
Dun, dun, dun!
And of course, Sarah telephones Jean-Pierre asking to have these photos enhanced. And as she goes to bed, the woman arrives in the bedroom, awakening Sarah with a pair of scissors, puncturing her fucking pregnant belly. That scene was hard to watch.
That scene was like, oh, but she's not gonna. She's not gonna. She just, she didn't even get her photos brightened up in Lightroom at all. Nope.
So to our listeners, let's paint the picture here, okay? So Sarah's like passed out asleep, right? She's dead asleep, right? And she's like, I don't know what time it is at night or whatever, but she's passed out. She's, you know, and this visitor woman, this strange woman, is walking around, going through the bathrooms and going through all these medicine cabinets and stuff like that. She finds a pair of scissors, sits onto, you know, Sarah's bed, and then dude, there's this close up shot of the scissors actually like sliding up her stomach, landing into the belly button.
Yeah.
And she pushes the scissor inside the belly button. And, you know, so that's where Sarah wakes up. Sarah fights the visitor off, who slashes part of Sarah's face with the scissors and locks herself in the bathroom where the woman tries to gain entry.
Okay. Couple things. Did you guys see when she was like falling asleep on the couch? The woman in the background just kind
of... Ooh, I love that shot.
It's so fucking spooky.
Great use of depth of field right there, like for sure.
Yeah, Savannah and I were watching this last night.
Oh, I'm so sorry to Savannah.
I know. No, she's in the other room right now. She was just like, oh my God, that's creepy. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. And I was like, oh, that is creepy. Look at that. Oh, man. And I like how...
this is probably the scariest it gets, right?
Oh, I don't know. It looked like the strange visitor woman behind Sarah, behind the couch. It looked like she was standing on a platform, and like people on set were probably pulling her in or pulling her out, because like she was like
smoothly
backing away from the couch. I thought that was really, really
cool.
She's
one of those Russian dancers who move like they're so fast that it looks like they're floating.
Yeah. But anyways, Flynn. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to mention that, and then I was going to mention the pregnant belly puncturing is the first of mm-hmm. many incredibly uncomfortable scenes, followed up shortly by seeing this woman's face get slashed open, and it is so graphic and so sad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
it God. Also, like, I don't know if anyone's, like, I don't know, gotten a lip piercing at any point in their life, but it's fucking awful. Yep. It's not comfortable. So the idea, like, it was just a taste of that sensation, and I just... not good.
Yeah, definitely a botched piercing attempt. I hope that they solve that.
Yeah.
Hope they figure out how to properly do the technique. But I'm not optimistic. So let's keep going.
But Flynn, it is your turn. Please. Yeah.
All right, let's fucking do it. Well, the woman makes clear that her intentions are to take Sarah's child for herself. Yes. Now Jean-Pierre arrives, and not knowing what Sarah's mother looks like, takes the woman's word that she is her mother. But this bitch is an imposter, just so you know. Not long after her actual mother, Luis, arrives. Oh, this part. Arousing his suspicions, Luis heads upstairs to check on her very, very, very maimed daughter. So, who's locked in the room, by the way? She's locked in... Was it bathroom, is it?
It's the bathroom.
Yeah, well, believing her to be the attacker, Sarah accidentally kills her mama by stabbing a needle into her neck. Ugh. And Jean-Pierre is later stabbed to death, of course, by the intruder, because this bitch is also opportunistic.
And then you just see blood, like, squirting out of her neck on both sides as she's stumbling down the hallway. It is so hard, especially, like, as the viewer, obviously, like, you know that she's the actual mother and Sarah doesn't, so it's just, it's not good.
And yeah, Sarah's in such a spot too. She doesn't know anybody's there to help, let alone her mom. Right. So she's like, you know, whatever's coming out that door that's getting got in, unfortunately.
Yeah. I do think, I don't want to say it's comedic, but I do think it is very amusing that someone breaks into her house while she was dead ass asleep, but also within the next like 20 minutes, not one, but two people show up at her house.
Yeah. Just play the Benny Hill music over this. I'm sure it'll...
It'll land every fucking time.
Isn't this funny?
Laugh, goddamn you.
All right, so the police arrive. Oh, more people, too. This is great. The police arrive to check up on her with a prisoner in tow. Yes, and not knowing what Sarah looks like, the police take the woman's word that she is Sarah, and everything is fine, because this woman is very good at convincing people that she's telling the truth. As they are about to leave, the police realize the woman who answered the door was not pregnant, and they return back to the home, because that is absurd. Yeah. Mm. Now, the first officer is stabbed to death with knitting needles as he attempts to arrest the attacker. The second is shot in the back of the head as he attempts to help Sarah. Of course, the attacker turns off the power as the third enters, waiting until they go to turn it back on before shooting the officer and stabbing his prisoner in the head. By the way, terrible police work here, handcuffing your prisoner to yourself. That's...
I know.
It's frankly American of them.
I was like, we're
yelling
dude.
At the TV during this whole entire sequence.
Well, it's also like you're handcuffing a prisoner. You're on the phone, which we'll get into also in the reviews. But you're on the fucking phone and you don't think to call for backup after hearing shots fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this kid's like 15 years old. He probably got caught smoking weed in the park. Like, he could walk in a shooter scenario with a pregnant lady's home. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they're low on their arrest rate towards the end of the month there and they want to get two. I don't know how that fucking works. But, I was very outraged during this part.
Yeah.
All the help's getting tapped.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, let's just emphasize a little bit that the cop wasn't just shot in the back of the head. Half of his head was fucking blown off, dude.
Oh, my God.
It was like he took a shotgun, blast to his freaking head. It was gone.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, that was some... It was like, remember in Kill Bill, the animated scene, when the guy, like, falls down and Oranishi shoots him in the face?
Yeah. Whole head blows off? Yep.
Yep, yeah. That's what I was getting. Except in real life, listeners, so it is horrifying. at this point, Sarah confronts the woman, and both injure each other with various household appliances. Yes.
This is a real, like... I don't know. You just need...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They're just beating the shit out of each other with the household objects.
Yeah, it's a lot like that Kill Bill fight with Vivica A. Fox at the beginning. Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
Much, much more brutal. Sarah manages to burn off half the woman's face with an aerosol container and a cigarette because she likes to smoke and... caught her victims, and Sarah took advantage. Way to go, lady. That was a good one, actually.
Yeah.
I was cheering. Mm-hmm. It looked brutal, though.
Dude, yeah, half her face just got, like, Kentucky fried. It was not good.
Kentucky fried.
Neither was the CGI.
Yeah.
The woman flees, and after being cornered by Sarah, reveals that she was the other driver in the car accident, which killed her unborn baby. Oh, no. And she wants Sarah's baby as a replacement baby. So...
You know what would be crazy? If she was just like, fine, give me your husband.
Yeah. That's good. Give me your husband. There was a joke there, but my body's not ready for that right now. So, before anything else can happen or be said, the two are interrupted by the revival of the third police officer, having been shot in close proximity by the woman with his riot gun. He survived the attack.
So, I don't know if you get, like, his eyes are all, like, fucked up, and basically what I saw is that he, like, it was basically being shot point blank with, like, a pellet gun, so it did, like, irreparable damage to his brain, but he was technically alive.
Yeah, he was, like, not, like, cognizant, really. He was just, And then, obviously, the noise startled him, and then he for the plot, really fucks up the resolution here.
He beat the fuck out of her. And, once he found out that the pregnant woman, Sarah, was in front of her, man, he, like, went to town on her, and, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he thought she was the woman in this movie is actually her credit is just La Femme. So, like, literally just the woman.
Oh, nice. Shit, okay.
Very cool.
Mr. Officer here, he is confused. He confuses Sarah with her attacker and beats her in the stomach with his club, forcing her water to break, and ooh, that's not a good... Mm-mm. Keep going. The woman comes to Sarah's aid and brutally kills the officer. But Sarah, now lying on the stairs, has begun to give birth, and the baby is stuck. Oh, desperate to save her child. Sarah pleads for the now reluctant woman to do what she originally intended. Yeah, acquiescing to this plea. The woman tearfully performs a cesarean section on Sarah with scissors, saving the infant but killing Sarah in the process.
Yeah.
The woman then sits in a chair and begins rocking the baby, who briefly cries as she looks soulfully at Sarah, who lies dead on the steps. Boof.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the movie.
That's a oof. All right, alternate song. If we can't get Pitbull at the end, what if we get Why Can't We Be Friends?
Ooh, okay. Okay, real quick. We're not in discussion quite yet, but what song are you putting at the end of this movie for optimum comedic impact?
Oh, my God.
Why Can't We Be Friends?
Mine is Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh, that's a good one.
I got this one right here, dude. It's from a very hardcore band. 10 years ago, they performed a legendary song. It goes, "What the fuck is up, Denny's?" But this time... And then that's the headline for this. It's called, "What's up? What's up? What the fuck is up, France?"
What the fuck is up, France?
Circle pit! Yeah! That's how you end the credits right there.
Very good. I like
that. Oh, what about right. we got a couple options here. There's that one Rock Your Baby song. That's another good mm-hmm. one too. Mm-hmm. Rock Your Baby. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Baby by Justin Bieber.
Okay, oh, that would be a good one too. That would be pretty good.
Damn it, man. I
Oh, Baby Got Back. Come on. Put Sir Mix-a-Lot. Put Sir Mix-a-Lot up in this bitch. Let's do it.
Oh my god. You want to know something funny? Yes. About Baby Got Back? Yes. I recently, I don't know, for some reason the music video popped up on my YouTube feed or something like that. Not one woman in that video had a big, you know, back.
No, because hold on. When did that song become a thing?
Like, I don't know, like
the early 90s
ago.
Yeah. Early 90s. So in the 90s, that's because it was in vogue and fashionable to have a small ass. Mm. Like how everyone.
But
like,
the song's about a giant ass.
I understand yeah. that, but like all the like models and like celebrities and stuff, like that's why like there's like that phrase that like in like late 90s, early 2000s sitcoms where it's like, does this make my butt look big? Like it's like, yes, that's the point. But mm. but yeah, so
yes.
No, at the time it was a beauty standard thing, and some people yeah. just like big asses. It'd be like that.
If it's any consolation, the Two Live Crew definitely went back on that within a year of that song coming out. So, no, didn't last.
No, it didn't.
So back to the child abduction.
But yes. But yes. All right, let's continue here, okay, shall we?
Yes.
Let's talk about reception, right? Reception yeah, for Inside. Just, yeah. Okay, so Inside received mostly positive reviews. Rotten Tomatoes gives it a score of 85% based on 13 reviews with an average rating of 7.61 out of 10.
Nice.
And Brad Miska of Bloody Disgusting gave Inside a top score of 5 out of 5, labeling it, quote, one of the scariest movies I have ever seen in my life, end quote, before concluding. Another quote from him is, this is quite possibly the most violent, realistic, and bloody slasher film ever ever assembled, ending on such a gut-wrenching note that there's not a single person who could walk out of that theater feeling normal.
Can you imagine seeing Inside in a theater?
No.
I would have been down.
I mean, it would have been dope as hell, but I would have been incredibly fucked up.
You can, mm-hmm. you can shoot. You're like, why is that man squirming in his chair so much?
Ew.
That's me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, are you guys watching this?
You have your hands over your eyes.
Oh, yeah. I was catching Pokemon when it got real bad. Yeah. All right, cool. The Switch is coming on right now. I need to get me a shiny fucking Vulpix. I can't look at this right now.
God damn it, Anthony.
No, we actually, Savannah and I were on the couch locked in. Like, no, like we were in, and we were just like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, I had a beer, and we had some snacks, and we're in, you know, fully locked in. This movie really did get our attention, like, right from the get-go. And, but yeah, let's continue here. Scott Tobias of the AV Club admitted that Inside was, quote, a superb piece of horror craftsmanship, end quote. That was stylish, intense, and nerve-jangling. He criticized its frequent cutaways to the protagonist in the utero
protagonist
child.
Protagonist in utero child.
There you go. Thank you. Writing, quote, where Inside crosses the line is a visual device that periodically checks the baby's status as it sloshes around the uterus like a CGI ultrasound. Sometimes it's as peaceful looking as the Star Baby in 2001. At other times, after a scuffle or a blow, it's tossed about so violently that its survival is in question. While I recognize that no digital fetuses were harmed during the making of Inside, there's something unseemly and grossly manipulative about treating the baby like some helpless variation on the, quote, final girl in a Halloween knockoff, end quote. That is a hell of a critique.
Right? Kind of agree. I think it was a little much, but I think it lended itself to the movie when it needed to, I suppose, but...
You know what it kind of reminded me of? Digital baby kind of
took me out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever we cut to the digital baby and to get his reaction of, like, how he would react to, like, a certain blow or anything, it always, back to our Mortal Kombat episode of several episodes ago, is whenever, like, a character would get hit, we would zoom in on where the damage to the body is being in.
Oh, my God.
So that's kind of what it reminded me of. It just kept reminding me of
this movie. This movie with the Mortal Kombat fucking,
music?
The bone-breaking uh-huh. cutscenes. Oh, my God. Yep. That'd be great.
Whenever someone dies, we just hear...
Yep.
Oh.
Whenever Sonya takes a punch to the stomach by Sindel, we cut and we just show the baby from inside getting affected by it.
No, okay, so now you end the movie with her walking away with the baby, and as soon as it cuts back to Sarah, it's like, fatality.
God damn it, you took my joke. I was thinking, like, every time someone dies, you just hear fatality.
Fatality.
But yeah, end it with the Mortal Kombat.
La Femme wins.
La Femme wins.
Mortal Kombat.
Wee wee wee.
God damn it.
All right. Anyways, let's continue.
Escargot.
Oh my God.
Are you just saying?
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God. Webster, we blossomed these past few episodes.
You guys did great. For the most part.
I was told by Savannah that never has she heard the word dude so much thrown around in under 2 hours.
We definitely, sometimes they needed Webster's feminine energy a little bit.
I appreciate that.
For real.
I'm glad I was able to return for the pregnancy horror film.
Thank you, yes. Better time, thank you. Because, can you imagine two dudes talking about this kind of stuff? No.
It's really indicative of... feminism in the United States today.
Our women listeners would just be like, you know, there's hate watching, you know, when you're hate watching stuff. Now this would totally be like hate listening Webster, and if there was no Webster in this episode.
What are these two douchebags gonna say?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, what are these two assholes got something to say about pregnancy, huh? But anyways, let's continue.
There was already some jokes I was like, I can't do it. So,
but if it was just me and Phil, I might have done it. Yeah. I admire your resistance. I really admire your resistance. Now, as a true Alex Webster special, you know what time it is, baby. Letterbox.
Letterbox.
Yeah.
All right, so on the reviews website, Inside has a 3.5 out of 5 average rating out of 33.6K reviews.
Yeah,
so,
that's a lot.
Yeah, so this let's dive right
special.
In.
This
really is, dude.
This is an Alex Webster special for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fucking dive right in, and we'll start off with user Lily with 3.5 stars. She says, if you think about it, this is just Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Told you.
Oh, that's great.
That's hilarious. That's good. Tony with 3.5 stars as well. This is actually a documentary depicting the real life throes of human pregnancy.
It's a documentary. Yeah, it's really informative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here we go. 5 stars from Groove Man, who says, quote, fuck. Kind of like a remake of Home Alone, but instead of Macaulay Culkin, you have a pregnant chick, and instead of Chris Columbus, it's directed by Satan. End quote.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a great
review. That's a good one. That's good. Yeah, it's the best way. It's not a Letterboxd review unless it starts off with fuck.
Honestly, yeah. I'm going to start screaming fuck before I talk about any movie ever. So when we get there to Destruction, I'm just going to be like, fuck!
But also, I would like it in the ending if they did that last shot of holding the baby. Then, you know, the robbers from Home Alone, Joe Pesci, show up at the front door.
Oh.
And then Joe Pesci does his memes like, what the fuck is this piece of shit?
I like that.
Say, Harry, don't move. What are you talking about, Mom? Just don't move. And then you fucking get stabbed by a fucking needle.
Yo.
So, to keep things fair, user Dajana has a 0.5-star review. And this person says, so, She can easily kill four men, but can't kill one pregnant woman in labor pains. If you hear a gunshot and you're sitting in a police car, you should immediately call for backup, but you don't. Why? And to make things worse, you're already on the phone. End quote. I hope I delivered that correctly.
I think that's fair. I was thinking more like, and to make things worse, you're already on the phone. That's
There you go. There you go.
That's how I read it in my head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good delivery. I like it. I like it. I get like points. That. To like Webster. That, Webster gets the edge on that one.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I
appreciate silver medal. Silver medal for sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hollywood has shown interest in remaking this film. Maury and Bastillo were propositioned, but both turned their asses down.
Good.
There it is. So after a six-year stint in development hell, in 2015, it was announced that the remake was back in production with Miguel Vives, known for directing Kidnapped, set to direct. But the remake was completed in 2017 and released in the United States exclusively on video on demand on January 18th, 2018. And from what it's been posted is, it is just not good.
It doesn't look good. It looks very bad, actually. It's like the American remake of Martyrs.
I mean, dude, I mean, when Americans remake stuff, I mean, fucking... You know, I mean, let me in, and oh my god, Old Boy,
that's right. I was thinking that one too, and they got some good directors for it, but it was just missing that something, you know, like what was it, Spike Lee did Old Boy,
Spike Lee directed that too, that's crazy.
Wow. That was
All right, guys. We made it. We made it to the discussion section. It's going to be a quick one. It's going to be a very quick episode, but you know what? I feel like this movie, you have to watch it for it to truly do justice. But before we get into that, let's start with Anthony. What are your thoughts on Inside from 2007?
I'm so glad this movie was so short.
It is short. It is short.
It's 122 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's really an hour and 22. I was like, okay, cool. I can burn this one before I go to bed. And I'm like, I'm terrified going to sleep.
This, you watched this before, but I remember you texted the group chat and you were just like, is this the right movie? And I was like, he's watching this really late.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And, I mean, do you know what, though? It's a great film. Like, I think it's a really, really well-made film. It got me. It got me hooked. But, man, it definitely is not for every person. It's for if you're a real horror, like, stan, and you're okay with gore, and you got, like, a good threshold for horror logic and graphic violence. I understand it's getting more niche as I say this. And subtitles.
Each word is just, like, another, yeah.
There's a lot of caveats here, but it's brilliant if you can stomach it, with no pun intended. God damn it. It's brilliant if you can stomach it. Yeah, I said it. Fucking said it. It's a good movie, though. I actually really... I wouldn't say I enjoyed my time with it, but I was affected by it, and I was very highly engaged to the point where I had to look away so many... More times than I think a lot of movies we've covered here, actually. Because it just kept getting more insane. But, hey, you know, there's some sheer talent behind this film, so I respect it. I respect it. So, that's my thoughts. Who else got it?
Sick.
Phil?
Sick, yeah. No, I really like this movie. It was cool. I remember seeing the poster for it back when it came out. Just never got to it watching it. And, this was my first time watching it. I was hooked. I think I was, if you guys remember in Pulp Fiction, where Uma Thurman's, like, ODing, and we're at Vincent Homeboy's house, and they're about to inject her with the adrenaline shot. Mm-hmm. There's a shot of one of the ladies who's, like, in the bathrobes, and she's like, oh, fuck, like, what's gonna happen? Like, she's super excited. That was kind of me watching this. that's kind of, like, how I was throughout this whole movie. It was cool. It was creepy. It was gory. I dig it. Kind of lost me a little bit in the third act. But, like, yeah, dude, this movie was cool as hell. I'd be down to watch it again. Had a fucking blast, really, watching it.
Hell yeah. Fun fact, that scene in Pulp Fiction, I think, is about as far as I got into the movie.
Oh, put it on for Pulp Fiction Zerk.
So
right after Can't Hardly Wait, though. I think we're doing that one first.
There's a lot of Zerks that there's we gotta do for Webster over
That's
here.
That's fine. I'm not going anywhere.
True.
Anyway, my thoughts. I picked this movie. I love this movie. The first time I watched it was, like, the most perfect setting to watch this movie. It was October of 2020. I was doing my original, 31 for 31 challenge, and I hadn't seen this movie at this point, obviously, and I made, what was it? I made this, super bomb, I made chicken and dumplings, and it was pouring rain outside, and I was just like, I will never be happier than this. And I put this movie on and I was just blown away. I was so uncomfortable. I was so impressed by everything. I was really impressed by the fact that it was 2007 and the gore looked incredible. Not medically accurate, sure, but it just was so good and effective. Mm-hmm. I also just think, as someone who's terrified of pregnancy, this is such a good movie for that.
If anything, I think this could just elevate anyone's fears, especially women who have the capacity of getting pregnant. The postpartum is real, and even before, that shit is, yeah. I can only imagine.
Well, it's all the stuff that I talked about in the beginning of the episode. There's, mm-hmm. Having a kid is totally, especially in America, one of the scariest things you can possibly do. And then adding this extra level of, home invasion, and, it's just, The theory vibes in this movie are I just want to dig my claws into it and just tear it apart. I don't know, just mothers fighting over a child. It's very biblical. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this movie. I love New French Extremity and I love pregnancy horror. So these are two things that I love very much. So to see it combined.
I can so picture you eating those dumplings, just chowing down.
Having the time of my fucking life, dude. It was great. It was so good.
It's like that water broke. My soup dumpling broke right now. Look at it. It's all over the bowl.
No, it wasn't soup dumplings. It was chicken and dumplings.
Oh, right.
I was being Southern about it. But yeah, it was, just a great first experience. And then watching it again, the person I'm dating is terrified of horror movies. He's just he doesn't like them. He does it at all. And, I was just we could watch a couple of these movies. And then I was I could put on Inside, but it will traumatize you. So we're not going to watch that. It just would have been, he would have left.
Traumatize my co-host before I traumatize you with this.
Correct. Well, also, I know you guys can handle it. But no, I was just if I show him this movie, I will never hear from him again. But so that's my experience with Inside. I mentioned it briefly, but we've covered other New French Extremity films on the podcast, notably Martyrs and High Tension. How does this compare to those other two entries?
I thought I was going to get High Tension from this movie. It was going to have that fake twist. I thought for a while until I noticed the actresses do look pretty different once they're in good lighting. I assumed that it was going to be a similar twist.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen
High Tension, Phil?
Neither have that or Martyrs.
Oh,
Phil.
Shit.
Phil.
Oh, Phil. Okay.
I would say
you should.
I was going to say Martyr Zerk, but that would just be terrifying.
Hey, you know what? If we can do it right after Can't Hardly Wait.
No. Martyrs first. And then Can't Hardly Wait to cheer us all up after, because
oh, there you go.
It's rough.
Yeah,
Martyrs Can't Wait. There you go. Barbenheimer. Martyrs Can't Wait, dude.
Martyrs Can't Hardly Wait. Oh yeah, no. Okay, so on this, it's very comparable to those two. I now, mm-hmm. looking back, I would say Martyrs is probably the most polished. High Tension seems like the most slashery and accessible. And then this one is like grungy. This one I'm just like, oh, you gotta know about this.
It's like Grindhouse, New French Extremity. Yeah.
Comparatively. Sure.
You know, I'm not too familiar with New French Extremities, but when I was watching Inside, this came out around the time where like I was really starting to get into horror films. Like you mentioned, did you mention Grindhouse right now?
Yes.
This came out during oh my god, dude, like when Hostel came out, and oh my god, the one with when bloody shit was like super gory stuff was already popping off in the early 2000s. This came out around that time, and it's like it felt very early 2000-ish. It took me back to when I started getting into like this uncomfortable shit, extreme bloody shit, you know, like it's been a long, I was telling Savannah, I was like, yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen a movie like this. It's been cool.
Was that
definitely a movie of its time?
Yeah. Did you feel like almost like nostalgic watching it? Because you like
a little bit.
I dig that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be totally honest. I completely forgot you weren't on the podcast when we covered those last two movies. Otherwise, instead of the Stolen Fetus segment, I would have done a recap on New French Extremity. I am sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
But listen to our, I think High Tension is the first one we covered, which has a good recap on what New French Extremity is. It's one of my favorite subgenres. Yeah. It's so, so good.
The movie really is like New French Extremity 101 too. So, again, I think it's the more accessible of the three that we've picked here, where, again, Martyrs is probably the most like polished and like, you know, good movie. And this one will fuck you. Well, they all fuck you up. They'll fuck you up, though. Totally. Yeah, they're going to fuck you up. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
I love it.
So I'm curious. there's a lot in this movie for, like, obvious reasons that made me uncomfortable as a woman. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what was the most uncomfortable thing for you as guys watching this movie?
C-section.
Interesting. Okay.
The C-section.
I there's in the belly button.
I thought for sure that guy getting stabbed in the dick.
I don't know. I guess, but like, you've seen that in a couple movies already. You know,
like
the C-section, like, you don't really see that much.
Yeah, when show me something when you're new.
Yeah, when you're talking to two dudes who are kind of, dare I say, desensitized to this kind of stuff.
Desensitized to dick violence.
Or just overall, you know. Bloody stuff, like, or like, you know, dude, if anything, dude, this movie had some really cool practical effects, dude, for sure.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the scissors into the belly button, I kind of legit like, oh, like I didn't squeal or covered my eyes, but I was like legit, like I think I legit went, oh fuck. And
it's,
then
it's a very, I'm jealous that you've watched this with like other people. Because I would love to watch this with someone, just because like I feel like for that reason, like just getting to like react to it with someone else, I think would be cool.
Like if you're in a room, if you're having a party with other folks who are, you know, desensitized to this kind of stuff, or like who watch a lot of horror films and have not seen this, this would definitely be like an inside zerk would definitely be in order for sure.
Ooh.
Like this would be a fun movie to watch with friends. I mean, like obviously if you have folks in your group who, you know, like you said, Fwen, this movie's not really for everybody. Mm-mm. But if everybody fucks with these kind of movies, then yeah, throw this one on. For sure.
Yeah, I'd put it in a scary movie marathon for sure. Like, ramp up to it, you know? Yeah. But definitely ramp up to it. Like, because it's a lot of movie. And for 122 minutes. Yeah, for an hour and 22.
Oof. It's a quick one, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, let's wrap this up. Anthony's sick. I'm sick.
Yeah.
I'm putting on a face right now for your entertainment. Rate this movie out of 5 needles to the neck. Anthony Fuentes.
Yeah, 3.5 needles to the neck.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Very, very good. 3.5.
Mm-hmm. Phil.
Yeah, I think I'm also going to be going 3.5 as well. This movie was pretty cool as hell. It's fun. Definitely rewatchable. As far as, like, extremities, like, when you talk about, like, movies like Ichi the Killer, stuff like this, like, this movie was just, like, straight to the point. Motherhood and the fears, manipulating fears and stuff like that. I dig those. I dig those themes too. Like, you know, those are some real life scenario themes. Yeah, 3.5. Like I mentioned earlier, that the third act, I was like, oh, film, you're losing me here. But, you know, it was cool. I like it.
That was a common critique I saw. Like, the mm-hmm. last, like, 20 minutes, you're just like, it just kind of goes off the walls, mm-hmm. like, you know?
Yeah. And then, like, dare I say, damn, Sarah, worst final girl of all time. She finally had her final girl moment when she built her weapon. Camera zooms in. She opens her eyes like, I'm ready to fucking kill this bitch. And she just... Not. No, she totally... I was like, okay, you can't get one W. This woman got no she W's got no whatsoever. W's,
yeah.
No.
I think that was a clever way to kind of, like, subvert expectations,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. I like that, and that's what I like. And I like that. I was like, okay, damn, I feel bad for her. She didn't get one upper hand in this movie.
Other than when she, like, did the fire thing
mm-hmm.
to her to the woman's yeah. face.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was just like, girl...
Yeah, I was like, do something. You know, you ever seen that that meme where someone's poking somebody with a stick? Like, come on, do something. Yeah. Yeah, that was me with Sarah. But no, and that's not like anything about my review. I'm just saying, like, the overall third act, I was like, all right, for sure. All right, this is what's happening. Okay. And yeah, I still like the movie for sure. I'll watch it again. This is a fun ass movie for sure.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I will give it. A 4 out of 5 needles to the neck. I have my gripes. I think, again, the last 20 minutes, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's kind of meh for me. Mm-hmm. I think it leaves off on such, like, a depressing note that it's really hard for me to give it a 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why I bring it up, actually. That ending note, I was like, oh, okay, more points.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. like, I just the way it, I don't know. I think the first time I watched it, it just, like, I had such a good time watching it. And at the end, I was just like, oh, I feel fucked up as a person. Yeah. But, yeah, I would say 4 to 5 needles to the neck for me. Next week, guys. Because that was Inside from 2007. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
Yeah.
We made it through. Next week is the week. We made it. For longtime listeners, you know exactly what's coming up the pipe. Let's just say it's the beginning of a trilogy that everyone here hates.
But we have had some weirdly exclusive access to it. It's insane.
Yes. So we're nice. Very excited to kick that off. Tune in next week for that.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest of all of our podcasting shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We are on Twitter and Facebook at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. We are also on YouTube at Horror People Pod or the Horrible People's Podcast. I kept forgetting that we have that now, so I gotta plug it. especially because Phil's putting out some awesome C word on that app, so check that out as well.
C word, okay. Just showing off that C word.
Just work that C word. you can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. Yay. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. And you can find Phil on Instagram and YouTube at Phil Acevedo. In the meantime, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I'm very excited to be back. Someone has to rein these guys in, and I'm so glad that it's me.
That's right. Miss Worldwide over here.
on that note, Dale.
Dale.
Oh, my God.
Bye.
Later.